Folks, Jesus Christ is the only one who has the power and the ability to change people's lives. That's it. Doesn't matter whether it's on this continent, doesn't matter whether it's in Europe, Asia, Africa, Far East, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Only Jesus Christ. And the pictures that you saw and the stories that you heard, you know what? That's not really much different than what's going on right now downstairs with your children and grandchildren and nieces. And it's the same thing. Jesus is the one who changes lives. It doesn't matter what time, what century, what continent. It's the same message. It's the only message that's actually worth preaching. So on your way out today, make sure you stop by the table, talk to Darko, meet him, put your name on the list so that you can get the updates of what's going on in Serbia. If you were here last year, you may remember that Faith Yakim was in Hungary at the camp for a couple of weeks. She's going back for a week of camp this summer as well, along with Janie Tarwacki, who's upstairs with our teenagers. They'll be in a week of camp in Hungary again later this summer. Spend a little bit of time in Europe doing some sightseeing, and because that's just cool. I've been over to Europe once. It was actually 21 years ago, and I'm guessing things have changed just a little bit. Since I was there last, you know, maybe get a chance to go back there. But it's very cool. And so when he says we need people, you know, if you've got the opportunity to go over there, I would highly, highly recommend it. It's well worth the week or two of your time to do that. Let's have a word of prayer. And then this morning we are going to go back to Psalm 23. And we're going to see another characteristic of our shepherd, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for Darko, for Alan Pamkanya, for what's going on in Central Europe. Sometimes, like Pete said this morning, we think it's all about us, and we get so wrapped up in our own problems. We get wrapped up in our own families, in our own situations, our work, our stress. All of the stuff, and when we forget, first of all, it's not about us at all. It's all about you. And then when we begin to see things differently, we remember there are a lot of other people in this world. There are more people on this planet than just in our little world here, and just in America. And they need Jesus Christ just like we do. And they need healing like we do. They need salvation. They need growth. They need people to share with them the same truths that we are so blessed to have and we take for granted so often. And so, Father, we thank you for this sneak peek into what's going on. And thank you for the people who are coming to know Jesus Christ in Serbia and Hungary and all of Central Europe because of Word of Life ministering over there, because of the other missionaries. Father, as we dig into your text this morning, as we look at your word, this next characteristic you've told us about yourself, we pray that we would come here with our minds open, the eyes of our heart, we sang this morning. We want to see what you have for us. We pray that this message would change us, would convict us, would teach us, would grow us, would bring us back in line with where you want us to be. That's my prayer this morning, Father, and I pray that all of us would be coming to the scriptures this morning with that attitude. And we come only because of Jesus Christ, and we come in his name. We've been working through Psalm 23 in this series called No Other Name, and we've found a couple of different characteristics now about God using Psalm 23 as our springboard. And just to refresh our memories here, just very briefly, the 23rd Psalm starts, "The Lord is my shepherd," and we found that he is indeed our shepherd. Jesus Christ, throughout the New Testament, is called not only the Good Shepherd, but also the Great Shepherd and the Chief Shepherd. And he can do, just like what Darko was talking about, and like I've said already, he can do something that no one else can do. And we're going to see that this morning in the phrase. We found that he is also our provider. David was able to write, I shall not want, I lack nothing. I, in our word a couple of weeks ago, was contentment. Do you remember if you were here? Contentment. I can be content because he provides. And even if I don't like his provision, and even if I don't agree with his provision, and even if I would be providing for myself in a different way, that is placing me above God. And contentment says, as provider, I have to assume and trust and believe that he really does know best for me and for my family and for our church and for whatever it is that we're asking for provision. Last week, we came across another one where we found out that he is our peace. We spent some time talking about the fact that we are constantly searching for peace in our lives, aren't we? I mean, there's so much that we have stress, and there's so much trouble, and there are so many circumstances that just cause us to want to throw in the towel. And you may be there today. You may have a situation, you may have more. How many of us only have one situation where we want to throw in the towel at a time? We usually have a lot of situations. Several. We can't even count them on one hand sometimes. We're going through just all of this garbage and we're ready to just say, I'm done with everything. We found out last week that he is the one who provides peace. Not by taking all of the chaos away. Peace is not an absence of chaos and conflict. Peace is a sense of security, an attitude of security right in the middle of all the chaos. And it's when we're in the chaos, and it's when we're in the middle of all the conflict. I'm just going to preach last week's message again. When we're in the middle of all of this, that we can truly find peace. Because if there's no chaos and there's no conflict, do we find ourselves even looking for peace at that point? Not really. God, not just God out there, but Jesus Christ, the shepherd, shows up as peace right smack in the middle of the worst situations that we would never sign up for otherwise. And that's when he shows himself to be our shepherd of peace. This morning, as we work through Psalm 23, just a little phrase at a time, we come upon this next phrase that says this: he restores my strength. Now, I'm going to have to admit, many of you know I use the New English Translation. I think that at this point in time, my personal belief, you can disagree with, I don't care, it doesn't really matter, it's a preference of mine. At this point in time, I think that this is one of the best English Bible translations when it comes to its accuracy, when it comes to its readability. I just like it. But just because I like it doesn't mean it's always the best. The fact of the matter is you're not going to find any English translation of the Bible that is 100% always the best. It's just the way it is. If you've studied languages, you know this. To go from one language into another, you always miss a little something. You just always do. Which is why, starting next week, we're going to completely jump out of Psalm 23, and I'm going to start teaching you Hebrew and Greek so that you just forget the English translations, and we'll go back to the original. So, everybody good for that? Nobody shows up next week, and in all seriousness, it's a fantastic way to study the Scriptures, is to be able to look at the language that God wrote it down in. There's a reason he didn't write it in English. I mean, just the way it is. We can't even do things in English most of the time. I mean, there's a reason God didn't write the Bible in English. He wrote it in a couple of languages for a very specific reason, and there's nothing like, I just tell you, this is not to brag or anything, but when I can open the Scriptures, the Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek, and I can read it. There's nothing like it. There's just nothing like it. And most of the time, it lines up perfectly with what you're carrying right there. And sometimes there's just a little nuance that says, wow, English could never convey that in one or two words. Which is why I stand here for 30 and 45 and 50 and 60 and 80 minutes or whatever sometimes and try to bring all this stuff out. Anyway, the reason I say that is because in the New English Translation, which I like and I use all the time, we find the phrase in Psalm 23, "He restores my strength." And honestly, if you've memorized or if you've heard Psalm 23 enough times, you say, that just doesn't sound right. Something doesn't sit right. It's, and what you've probably heard or memorized is, "He restores my," remember it? My soul. And there's a big difference between strength and soul, isn't there? There really is. And they chose to translate it strength this way. It's not my preference. I really would prefer the soul in this time, because the word that David used doesn't just mean physical strength, which is sometimes what we might take away if we read strength. It really comes to the deepest part of our lives. And if I were, which I'm not, but if I were making my own little translation here, I would say that he restores, or he turns around, he brings back even, and we're going to explore this for just a couple minutes this morning. He turns around, or he brings back my very life, the depths of who I am. So you can't do that in just one or two words. It just doesn't work that way. He restores my strength. He restores my soul. He brings back my life. There's only one other place that this exact phrase shows up in the Old Testament. It's actually a verse we looked at this last week. I'll show you here in just a minute. But I want to focus this morning on our shepherd, Jesus Christ, as the healer. The healer. He is the one who heals. Now, he actually gave himself this name in one place in Exodus chapter 15. The nation of Israel had just been rescued, woohoo, from slavery in Egypt, and God did some awesome things. And he used a lot of disease and he used a lot of horrible things in Egypt to help rescue his people. And when they came to a place where they were able to be safe and he was able to communicate with them, this is what he said in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. He said, "If you will diligently obey the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and pay attention to his commandments and keep all his statutes, then all of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians, I will not bring on you. For I, the Lord, am your healer." Now, a couple of things about this. First of all, this was a promise made at a very specific time, in a very specific situation, to a very specific people. What I'm not going to say today is we can come back to Exodus 15 and say, God's not going to bring any diseases. We're always supposed to be healthy. We're never supposed to be sick. You're not going to find that anywhere in the scripture, and you can't take that from this one verse. And if you do take that from this one verse, then you and I are just going to have a little talk, because we're just not in there. It's not in there. He said for the people of Israel at this time, if they would obey him, all of those things that they just watched these people go through because of their disbelief in Jehovah would not have to happen to them as well. What we can take away from this is that in every situation throughout the scriptures, somehow non-physical healing, and I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, non-physical healing is always tied to obedience. Non-physical healing is always tied to obedience. I just want to stick that in your mind right now, and then we'll come back to it. God is the healer. And here's what we find. I mean, I've been thinking about this for weeks now as I prepare for this, and I think of series in advance so that the Holy Spirit can work on me and teach me as I get ready to teach. I've been thinking about God as healer. And I have to tell you that this is a tough message here. Because some of the things that I personally believe, and some of the things that I see in Scripture, go against what we normally live out. There are a lot of times that I come up here, and I was telling Darko this earlier this morning, there are a lot of times I come up here, and I know it's going to be good. I mean, I'm preaching the favorite truths, and you believe it, and I believe it, and we love it, and it's just, woo, we're going to get a good day, and we're going to go on out of here. But then there are times when I know that this is going to rub somebody the wrong way. You're going to walk out of here, I don't believe that, I don't buy that, and that's not at all what I think. And I'm afraid this morning, even though I should even tell you this, but I'm afraid this morning that these few minutes that we have is going to do that. And so I'm just going to port you back to the first song that we sang that said, "Open the eyes of my heart." Hopefully you sang that as a prayer. Because what I'm about to say in the next few minutes comes directly from Scripture. And we need to live it, not just say, oh yeah, I think it's in there somewhere. And here's the premise. Here's the premise. God is healer. And we believe that, don't we? Do we believe that God is a healer? Yes. But we typically, and I speak for myself, and yeah, I'm going to speak for you for just a minute too. We typically spend our lives believing that God is a healer only about that much, not the whole package. And here's what I mean. If somebody goes into the hospital, what do? Oh, we're going to pray about that one. Oh yeah, I mean, we can believe that God is a healer if somebody's in the hospital. If somebody gets that diagnosis that we were hoping that they didn't get, we'll pray for that one. You know, God can heal that. You know, God does that type of healing, doesn't he? You know, he can do that. Sometimes we'll even pray for healing in specific situations. You know, I've got this marriage, or I've got this relationship, or I've got this situation that needs healing. We'll pray for that one. But you know what we don't pray for? At least not in most of the people that I've talked to. When it comes to healing, I've never heard anybody ask me, I've never seen it on your connection card, which by the way you should be filling out, I forgot to mention that. I've never seen on anybody's connection card, not once, and if you did, and you can correct me later because I forgot about it, but not once in my recollection have I ever seen anybody put their connection card in the thing and say, I need healing for my anxiety. I need healing for my depression. I need healing for my worry. I need healing for my ADD. I need healing for my whatever the thing is. I'll pray for healing for my marriage, and I'll pray for healing for my broken leg, and I'll pray for healing for cancer, and I'll pray for healing for other big things. But when it comes to inside me, for some reason, I don't believe that God can heal that. Or I've never thought about it that way. It could be that we just never thought about those things as in need of healing. It's a whole lot easier to get a prescription, or to go to a counselor, or to just try to sweep it under the rug and say, you know what, the other stuff can take care of me. God has bigger things to do. Now, so many places I wanted to go this morning with this. I'm going to focus very, very narrowly here. If God is truly healer, then why in the world don't we take all of the things that need healing back to him? Why don't we take everything that needs healing? Why is it just the big physical stuff that we think he can heal? I want to show you just a series very, very quickly. We're just going to just throw them up there very quickly on the screen. I want to show you what God can heal. And in your notes there, it just four verses. What can the shepherd heal? I just want to look at these very, very quickly. What can the shepherd heal? Well, according to Psalm 103:3, he's the one who forgives all your sins, who heals all your what? Okay, we have no problem with that one, right? Woohoo, yeah, God heals diseases. All right, move on. So what about Psalm 147:3? He heals what? Oh. Hearts that are broken need healing. And who can do that? Only Jesus the shepherd. Broken hearts don't need therapy. Broken hearts don't need medication. Broken hearts need healing by the shepherd. He heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. Jeremiah chapter 3, this is the Lord talking to his nation, Israel, and he says, come back to me, you wayward people. I want to cure what? Your waywardness. God can heal people who are going off in the wrong direction, because healing, like I said at the beginning, healing means to turn around, to bring back. We use this phrase all the time. If you get a phone call or an email about, say somebody's in the hospital or whatever, it says, he took a turn for the... See, now why did you go with worse? Why doesn't anybody ever take a turn for the better? Really? Come on, people. You got to be optimistic here. Nobody takes a turn for the better, do they? I mean, we always go worse. You guys need to be examined. Come on. Come on. He took a turn. Yeah, I know. I know. He took a turn. Everybody has to say this. We've got to get... He took a turn for the better. Thank you. Good. I'm about ready to soapbox here, but all I'm going to do is say this. Why is it that we pray that they'll get better, and then we just assume they took a turn for the worse? Come on. I'm done. Okay. That's just a tiny little soapbox on that one. Listen. He can heal diseases. He can heal broken hearts. He can heal waywardness, because waywardness needs healing. Waywardness doesn't just need counseling. Waywardness doesn't just need prayer. Waywardness doesn't just need another nudge, another group. Waywardness needs curing, healing, and only the shepherd can do that. He can cure waywardness. By the way, he can cure waywardness of entire nations. He's talking not to just one or two people, but he's talking to the whole nation of Israel. He can cure the waywardness of entire groups of people, which is why we send missionaries to places and why we support missionaries in places like Hungary and Serbia, because we pray, God, would you heal, would you turn, would you convert, not just one or two people, but an entire nation. See, he can heal that, but it needs healing, not just more of the same that we continually throw at it. But most of all, the greatest healing of all, and this gets right down to the depths of it, we find in Isaiah chapter 53. And that's supposed to say 53:5, I think. It's supposed to say Isaiah 53:5. That's a typo on my part there. I don't know if that ruined anything. The prophet said he was wounded because of our rebellious deeds. He was crushed because of our sins. He endured punishment that made us well. Because of his wounds, we have been healed. And the context does not allow us to talk about physical healing in this situation. There's some people that like to say, well, see, you know, because Jesus died, I don't have to be sick anymore. That's not what it says. Jesus didn't die for your asthma. Sorry if you have asthma. Jesus didn't die for that. Jesus died for your sins. The depths of the spiritual disease that we have. The prophet Jeremiah put it this way: our hearts are deceptively evil. They're wicked and they are sick. On our own, we are so far away from God. And we don't need all of the stuff that we keep throwing at it. Groups can help, and medication can help, and all of that can help. Therapy and counseling can help, but it cannot cure. It cannot heal. Only the shepherd can heal what ails us. And here's how I want to put it this morning in your notes if you're following along. I want to stay away from physical healing this morning because we already sort of trust God for that. We pray for physical healing. I really want to focus on the other areas of healing that we need because we tend to overlook those most of the time. And just a couple of minutes here, I want to focus on this. And we're not going to look at all of these passages. I put them in here, frankly, because as I'm studying, I know there's always way too much to put into the time that we have. So I just keep on filling up the bulletin with passages that you can read, okay? We'll just do it that way. There's no way we're going to get through everything this morning. Spiritual healing, this is what I have found in the scriptures. Spiritual healing always, 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 always requires repentance. And here's the blank that I want you, if you're taking notes, here's the blank. It's three words. I want to give you a definition of repentance. Repentance is simply this: turning toward God. It can be a mind change. It can be a heart change. It's an action change. But repentance is always some sort of turning from the direction I'm going or the direction I'm thinking to a new direction. And here's the takeaway this morning. If you miss everything else, you got your notes. Here's the thing. If you and I are in need of healing, and I'm talking from a non-physical aspect this morning, it can be emotional, it can be mental, it can be spiritual. If you have a relationship or you have a heart or you have a mind that is in need of healing, you need to repent. You need to turn away from whatever it is that you think is going to help, and you need to turn toward God because that's the only way. The only way. And I'm not saying that accusingly. I say you. I mean, that's the kind of, but all of us, if we want healing, and whatever we need healing for, it always, throughout the scriptures, I could take you to tons of passages, and we just don't have time for it this morning. We always find that the healer of our hearts and our minds and our relationships and our situations requires a change in us first. Now, the only other place that we find this phrase of a restoring of our soul or a turning of our very lives is in a verse we looked at last week. It's in Psalm 19, and it's in verse 7. It's the first half. It simply says this: "The law of the Lord is perfect," and again, the New English Translation translates it, "and preserves one's life." It's that last phrase, preserves one's life. It's the exact same thing. Restores our very, turns around our very life. If you need a turnaround in your life somewhere, there's one place you can find it. And what does David say that place is? Where is it? What did he say in Psalm 19:7? Where, what preserves, what turns us around, what restores our soul? What is it? It's the law of the Lord. Now for David, he only had about, let's go back to about here. David only had about that much written down. When he talked about the law of the Lord, when he talked about the scriptures, he didn't use the term Bible, but when he talked about what we call the Bible, he only had about that much written down. And if David could find complete healing in that much of the scriptures, why in the world would we have cause to go anywhere else when we have this much. See that? David was able to say, I've got this much. And as far as he knew, that's all he was going to get. He didn't know that there was going to be anything else. He didn't even know he was writing scripture when he wrote these things down. How cool is that? Yeah? He didn't know all that. All he knew is that if he needed healing, he went back to what God had given him. That is a change of mind. That is a turning around. That is a conversion. Now, the very first time, the very first period of healing that we have is when we turn to God for the first time for salvation. And we have the forgiveness of sins that Jesus died for there in Isaiah 53. He was crushed, he was bruised, he was wounded because of our sins so that we can be healed spiritually. If we are so willing to be healed from our sins the first time, why do we stop? Why, after we receive his gracious salvation, do we think that that's all the spiritual work he can do? And he's limited to cancer now. That's the only thing we pray for is cancer. And you've been, my guess is that there's probably not more than just a handful of people, just one or two people maybe in this room that has never, ever prayed for somebody who has cancer. Am I right? Has everybody prayed for somebody who has cancer at one point in your life? You know somebody, it could be a relative, it could be a friend. For whatever reason, that just seems to be the big thing. Maybe you're praying for somebody right now. You could be. Why is it that we can trust him with something like that, but we can't trust him with the healing that has to happen in our own hearts? Maybe it's just because we never thought of it in those terms before. Maybe we just never considered that, you know, that's a healing process that needs to happen. Well, here's what I want to give you. Here's what I want to give you. I talk about the Bible a lot. I talk about the scriptures. I try to point you to the scriptures. And apparently, you know, if all you did was, if the only time you heard me talk was on Sunday mornings for this little period of time, you would think that the scriptures are the solution to everything. Because it seems like that's all I ever say is scriptures are the solution to everything. Just read the Bible more and everything's going to be fine. Here's the thing. It's not the Bible that solves anything. You could read this book for the rest of your life and not get a thing out of it and never have a single change in your life. It's not about reading it. It's not about getting into the Bible. It's not about mastering the Bible. You can take classes, you can study, I'm going to master this book. That's not what it's about at all. It's simply about this. And this may sound cheesy and it may sound corny, but the truth is right there in the middle of it, and maybe it'll help you remember. It's not about getting into the Bible more. It's about the Bible getting into me more. It's not about me mastering this book so that I can memorize it and quote it and point you to it. And, oh, yeah, sure, right here. I open right to it. You know, it's not about me mastering the book. It's about the truths of the book mastering me, that brings healing. And this is the way it works. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews says this, that the Word of God is living. It's not just a dead book. It's not just paper with ink on it. There's something more than just the book. The Word of God is living. It's alive. It's active, and it is sharper than any double-edged sword. And here's how sharp the Word of God is. Here's why this is the place that we turn, or should turn, above anything else, when we need healing. Because even more so than a surgeon's scalpel, and that's something that we can identify with, it cuts into us and exposes physically what needs to be healed. The Word of God can pierce even to the point of dividing our soul from our spirit. It can do something that a surgeon's scalpel, that a medication, that a therapist, that a counselor, that a group can never, ever, ever do. This can go straight to the problem right there where we didn't even know there was a place where the soul and the spirit joined. And it can get there. And it can get all the way down to the joints and the marrow. There is a physical aspect of it. It is able to judge the desires and the thoughts of the heart. If you memorize verses on a regular basis, we give you one every week to memorize, to let it sink. This is the one for this week. The Word of God gets all the way down to the deepest part of where we need to be healed. Nothing else can do that. Nothing else can do that. And the fact of the matter is that if you are here this morning listening, that you, like you are, you need to be healed somewhere in your heart. Things may look good, things may sound good, things may not look and sound good. I don't know what your immediate situation is, but I can guarantee you, if you are alive, if you are breathing, and you are still walking this planet, then there is a point in your life that still needs to be healed. Because none of us are there yet. We're not perfect. We're not done. And we can spend our time in groups, and we can spend our time in counseling and therapy, and we can spend our money on medications, and we can spend all of our energy doing everything that we can find. But if this is not the driving force, I'm just saying, we're not going to find the healing that we're looking for without the Scriptures. It's not there. Because the shepherd, Jehovah, is our healer. And this is what he gave us. You know, God came up with only two things. Once everything was all created and his plan was in place, God gave us two things. He gave us the church and he gave us the Scriptures. That's it. Everything else around us we came up with on our own. God started the church and God wrote the Scriptures. And apparently, he thinks that's enough. So either he is way off base, or we are. And since we're the ones that are in need of healing, maybe it's time to turn back to the shepherd of our souls. The one who forgave us in the first place. The one who healed us from our sins in the first place. And bring us back to where he wants us to be. Now here's the challenge this morning. Let me give you one promise and then a challenge and we're going to wrap up. Just real short. This is so difficult. And you've got to know this. You've got to know this. Let me give you one promise. Whatever your situation is this morning, whatever your situation, this is a very cool promise. At one point, sometime in the future, the healer is going to be out of a job. Because in Revelation 21, 3 and 4, when all is said and done, this is what we're told. Look, the residence of God is among human beings. He's going to live among them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them. And then check out this promise. You've heard it before maybe, but this is awesome. You should know where this is. This is after all the judgments are done. This is after everything's done and we are ready to step into eternity. And if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to step into eternity with him forever. And the healer, the great physician, will be out of a job. Look at what it says. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Aren't you looking forward to that day? I'm done with tears. I don't like tears. You don't like tears. We'll be done with tears. Death will not exist anymore. Looking forward to that. Or, not just death, but mourning and crying and pain. because the former things have ceased to exist. Now, two things in your bulletin. The yellow card Gary pointed out is your SOAP reading card. If you don't have a plan to read through the Bible or read the Bible on a regular basis, here's your plan right here. If you don't have one, if you're not reading the Bible, you're not going to find healing. Here's your plan right here. You're going to notice that starting this week, the sections, I warned you about this last week, the reading sections are shorter, give you time to meditate and graze on the Scriptures a little bit better. They're shorter, and there's a reason for that. We'll be bringing that up. On some of the longer books, like Deuteronomy's coming up, Job is coming up, we're actually skipping around and hitting some of some specific sections instead of necessarily, you know, just a chapter a day, because that's why we're doing it, okay? Read the Scriptures. Let the Scriptures get into you. And then, on your way out this morning, the offering buckets are going to be, baskets are going to be in the back, but I want to make sure that you have the time. Because this was short, but it was dense. You know what I mean? It was just sort of heavy and tense and all that, and I understand that. And I want you to make sure that you have the time on the way out this morning. Because here's, on the back of your connection card, it may be that you've never believed in Jesus Christ for salvation. You've never even had initial healing from your sins. And today, you need to come to Him. And you need to confess your sin and say, I am accepting, I am believing in You, the One who died to heal me of my sin. And I accept Your salvation today. Would you mark that on your card this morning if that's you? Maybe you say, you know what, I've sort of been caught in this weird trap. Didn't even realize it, but I've been caught in this trap where all I pray for is, you know, like physical healing. You know, pray for somebody in the hospital, but I never considered or never thought of that healing went beyond that. And I need to learn to believe that the shepherd can heal me and others completely. And maybe that's you. Maybe you just never even thought about it in that way before. You say, I need to really tap into that because I need healing. You can mark that on your connection card. Maybe this morning you would say, you would be honest and you would just say, I am in desperate need of healing right now. It could be spiritual. It could be emotional. It could be mental. It may be physical. And He can heal physical ailments too. There's no doubt about that. I don't want to say He can. That's not where our focus was this morning. But maybe you just say, you know what? I am in need of healing. And you would mark that on your connection card. If you want to say what it is, there are lines there. You can actually say what you don't have to. You don't have to, you know, spill it all if you don't want to. But you're done carrying it around on your own. And you're ready to turn, come back to God in that area and say, God, I don't just need help. God, help me in this situation. I don't just need help. I need healing here. Maybe you would mark that this morning. Or you would mark that you're going to memorize Hebrews 4:12. I'm going to close in prayer. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm not going to leave right away. I want to stick around. I'm pray a little bit. Maybe look at some of these other passages. There's some other good passages there in your notes. On your way out, the baskets will be in the back. The guys will be in the back. And you can take your giving envelope and you can take your connection card and you can say, you know what, as my act of worship, putting that in there. And take the time you need to talk with God as you find healing this morning. There's so much that we could say. And next week we'll move on. So if you need to talk about this or pray about this, give me a call or shoot me an email this week or come by and we can see where God wants to heal you. Let's pray. God, You are our healer. You've said that You can heal nations, that You can heal physical ailments, and we're pretty cool with that. But for some reason, I don't know if we just don't believe. I don't know if we just don't think about you. I don't know if we just think that we have to do it on our own. We have to carry it. But for some reason, we don't come to you for healing of our souls. The very thing that gives us life. God, I pray that you would bring us back, that you would convert us, that you would turn us around in these areas that we need, that you would heal us. It can be long, it can be drawn out, it can be painful. But you've said that you can do it. And you've said also that you will do it individually. Not just as a group, but individually. You care about us enough to, you said that you will heal us individually. And so God, what these connection cards say as we get ready to put our giving and our connection cards as an act of worship, as we put those into the basket, we are saying, God, I am ready to turn around. Find healing. This is our prayer this morning, Father, and we pray it in Jesus' name.